If We Believe by Jacqueline Fedor. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Now here's what I want you to notice. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. The word shattered in the Hebrew Strong's Dictionary is number 5310, meaning dashed to pieces, bedlam, break in pieces, scatter. As we continue the message, you will see the importance of understanding the definitions. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 42. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. I started out with these two scriptures to show you why the power of God is stifled today. Even the Lord himself could not do the miraculous with unbelievers in his company, as Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 shows us. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, doubt and unbelief are the culprits that have ruined the faith of God's people, hindering the miraculous and robbing us of the promised restoration. As I said before, Jesus himself could do nothing surrounded by a people that did not believe. At Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus tells us that if we believe, we can do all things. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So, you can see if we want to reawaken the power of God in our lives, God's people must have their faith, their belief, resurrected. Over the years, the church, operating in doubt and unbelief, has suffocated the faith of its people, causing even more doubt and unbelief as the new ones come in. In fact, the word of the Lord must itself be resurrected, as the lack of belief has made it seem void and of no effect. Let me explain. Jesus bore our infirmities, took our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. Do we really believe this? Remembering that to he who believes, all things are possible, yet we make an appointment with the doctor. Is this belief? Is this faith? In Isaiah chapter 11, it speaks of the restoration of all creation, and God says, "At this time they will not harm or destroy in all his holy mountain." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Yet we continue to eat meat, which means death is still operating. Man in the image of Nimrod is still the mighty hunter. Again, death is the result. And what about the animals that are used for experiments to develop the wonderful medicine that cures the diseases Jesus says he already healed us from? If we had the faith, God would swallow up death. There would be no more dying. But how many believe this, so they can grow in faith and change? We've studied how the knowledge of Satan is the infrastructure of this world that we live in. Even when we are shown how this warped knowledge has shaped a society, a culture, a world with systems that are absolutely dangerous to the earth and all on it, we favor that knowledge over the word of the Lord, again making the word of God of no effect. The lies and false doctrines that have resulted from this evil wisdom have put a veil of deception over God's people. And much of his truth has been lost, again resulting in doubt and unbelief. The Word of God says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And do we realize that God has given each one of us a portion of faith? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, if doubt and unbelief diminish our faith, then we must expose these spirits and remove them from our minds and our hearts. Again, if we look in the Strong's Concordance, we will see that the word doubt means to hesitate, which causes us to waver, and Scripture says a wavering man gets nothing from God. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And then James goes on to explain. James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. To rid God's people of these spirits so the church can move forward, we must develop a love for truth to reawaken the Word of God, renewing our hope to be the benefactors of the covenants and the promises. It's only the truth that can set us free. But this works only if we believe. The Word of God says if we don't, we'll believe these lies and be condemned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned. Old King James says damned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Note, these were unbelievers. You see, Yeshua overcame the enemy, the world he has built, the powers and principalities he rules through, and the works that he has accomplished through making puppets of humanity. The reason the enemy has tried so hard to deflate our faith and destroy our belief in what God says, or the Word, is he is well aware that faith is a law. Not his law, not man's law, but the God who created the universe, it's his law. That is the backing we have if we believe. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The faith of the early Christian church was like a great fire, and because of their faith, the power of God flowed through the miraculous. Through the religious community, the fire was extinguished. Nothing but embers left. It started while Christ himself still walked the earth. Jesus said to those religious leaders, "You have the key to knowledge. You don't go in yourselves, and you keep others from going there." And he called them whitewashed graves, said they didn't know his voice because they weren't his sheep. And the Pharisee spirit has operated in the hands and urgings of Babylon ever since, resulting in today's doubt and unbelief. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to remedy it? We are going to let the knowledge of God cover the earth as water covers the sea, according to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9 above. This is the knowledge that Daniel was told to seal up at Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, until the times of the end. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Let me share a scripture with you that is one of my favorites. At Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it says that the mysteries belong to God, but the things he reveals belong to the children. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So, the things he is showing us belong to us, and we are sharing them. Many are running to and fro and are spreading this truth, again as it prophesies in Isaiah, as the waters cover the sea. You see, the Word of God is a great light. It dispels the darkness. Living waters of truth drown the lies and false doctrines that the Pharisees have spread over the years. The Holy Spirit is opening up the hearts and minds, and the veil of deception that has been over God's people is being removed. It's the eighth day, eight standing for new beginnings and for circumcision. It's a time for change. It's a time that the world is overcome by the kingdom of God. And a time that God's people are realizing who they are and what they are. And wanting the promises and the covenants resurrected for them to believe in. The mountain at Hebrews chapter 12 is becoming a reality because God's people call those things that are not as though they are. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 and 22. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, not a physical mountain, and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest. But you have come to Mount Zion, mountain spoken of in Isaiah chapter 11, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. It's backed by the law of faith. They're beginning to see the city, New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, through the eyes of faith, is seen at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, predestined in heaven, manifested on earth, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The restoration of all creation is also becoming a reality as God's people develop a love for truth and develop belief in His Word and His promises. I'm sorry to say that there are many that will not understand this Word, nor even want to take a closer look at it. But this Word is for those that know there's something more, that God is not a liar. And if He says He's going to do something, these believe He will. No longer a part of the lukewarm church, totally circumcised from Babylon, these are hungrily ingesting the eighth-day insight, the truth being revealed for this time, and the fire is coming back. And the fivefold ministry spoken of at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, are living stones, offices of fire and flame that will lead God's people to Christ's victory. As stated before, Yeshua has already done it all. And that victory is there, waiting to be claimed by a people that can believe. The enemy is defeated, but he will keep on attacking until God's people realize who they are and believe who He is and what He's done. The world will become more and more dangerous and evil unless God's people will rise up in faith, in belief, and drive the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness already defeated by their king off of this planet, breaking their influence from humanity. The Word says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but He says the violent will take it by force. We believe. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The eighth-day warriors of the Lord are overcomers. At Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, He who overcomes will eat from the tree of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To understand the word overcome in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance, it's number 1464, meaning to crowd, attack, invade. Goes to 1443. Meaning, assemble yourselves together by troops, gather selves together, cut selves, form a covenant between you. The number in Greek is exciting. It is 3528, means to conquer, overcome, prevail, get the victory. It goes to 3529, meaning, means of success. Victory. You know, the heavens belong to Father, but the earth He has given to us, according to Psalm chapter 115, verse 16, and we are possessing the land. Psalm chapter 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. If you look up the word possess in the Strong's Concordance, it means to drive out the former occupants. And that is the church militant, the job of the warrior bride, if we believe. In closing, if we believe, faith is a law. And one day soon, all that believe will be gathered once again in harmony, in sync with the rest of the universe, as in the beginning. Shouts of praises will be heard in the heavenlies, and the cosmic chorus will reverberate across the universe as all creation enters in to give glory and honor to their King. The Word of God was proven true, and the promises of restoration will have been fulfilled. These believed, and their faith was law.